you read the earlier part of this chapter, you'll find that it talks about the transfiguration of Jesus. There are a lot of things in the Bible that I would like to have seen. But the transfiguration of Jesus is something that's always fascinated me. The disciples didn't know how to deal with it. I'm not sure I'd have known how to deal with it. It was a time when the inner circle of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, saw his glory and heard his Father speak about Christ's majesty. The same compassion that brought Jesus down from the Father's throne now leads him to deal with a child who is possessed with demons and crushed under the burden of their mysterious powers. The Lord also here deals with religious doubters, Pharisees and scribes, and the general public who just don't believe what he says. And he deals with his faithless disciples. I have to confess to you that I look at the disciples sometimes and I say, how could they not believe? They heard the Lord of glory speak every day. They saw him do miracles every day. And yet they didn't believe. And then I think about myself and I think I probably wouldn't have either. He proves himself, however, to be the Son of God by healing this troubled child. And I want to bring you a message tonight, if the Lord will help me, that I have titled, The Healing of a Demoniac Boy. Now, there are three or four things that I want us to look at in this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want you to look with me at his father. It tells us that there came to him a certain man. A certain man. That word certain is added by the translators. But it's added because of the context. When God dealt with people, he dealt with certain people. When he dealt with you, he dealt with you as a certain person. And he still does. Mark supplies us with the fullest details of this experience. It's also recorded in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke. And Mark tells us a lot about it. The father came to Jesus with a humble heart. He came with reverence. It says he knelt down to him. He bowed to him. He came forward to plea in behalf of his child's misery. I found out when I was a young man that God's circumstances will make you plead with God when nothing else will. When our oldest son was born, he had a large hole in his heart. And we prayed without fail that God might be pleased to heal him. And I have to confess to you that I was a little surprised when we took him to the doctor one day and they said, what hole? It's gone. But I realized God did it. His plea was accompanied with tears. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic and he's vexed. Sometimes he falls in the fire and sometimes he falls in the water. This man was weeping tears that were passionate and sincere. He loved his son. And he saw the condition he was in and knew that there was not a thing he could do about it. There was nothing that the doctors could do about it. His love for his son and his anguish for him however, gave this man boldness to come to the Lord of glory and beg him for mercy. He comes in the midst of a circle of religious doubt and disciples who have failed to do what God told them to do. He came and revealed an intense focus on Christ's power. You can do what your disciples could not do. I think it's important we understand that. There are things we can't do. God's told us we can do anything that we need to do, anything we want to do in His will, but sometimes it's not His will. And I'm pretty aware of my limited abilities, and I hope you are too. And this man came with intensity, trusting in the power of Christ. His heart was filled with a hopeless state. I've been where he was. To say about your child, he's a lunatic. He's vexed. That's not only painful for the child, it's painful for the father. It's a difficult thing to deal with. My children were like all other children. They had all the diseases that children have, this, that, and the other. But when my oldest son was about 22 years old, he went insane. A doctor had mistreated him and given him an overdose of some drugs. And it messed his brain chemistry up. And he was as crazy as a goose for 2 or 3 years. I mean, he did things that I can't describe to you and don't want to describe to you. We didn't know what to do. We wept and we prayed. And we trusted God, but we didn't know anything else to do. But this man's feeble pleas were linked to Christ's omnipotence. You as believers need to understand that when you pray to a God who can do anything. Doctor looks at a woman and says, "You've got stage 4 cancer. You've got 3 weeks to live. There's not a thing I can do for you." He's telling the truth. But God's not a doctor. And stage 4 cancer is no more difficult for him to heal than a case of the sniffles. The father turned from these faltering disciples who could not help him and could not help his son. And he turned to Jesus. He said, "I brought him to thy disciples." They couldn't hear him. He was disappointed that the disciples could not heal his son. He expected them to be able to. And unfortunately, in the world that we live in, as in their world, there are a lot of people that think that preachers and church members can just say a few words or touch them and all their problems will go away. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. The disciples were baffled. They were frustrated too. They couldn't understand this. The Lord had sent them out to heal people and to preach the gospel. And here was this child that was sick. They couldn't do a thing for him. Helpless. They stood before the Pharisees and the empty religionists, and they were ashamed. Their failure. So the Father focuses his hope not on them, but on the blessed Lord. "I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." The Lord Jesus Christ alone has universal power over Satan and all his demonic forces. I'll tell you, your pastor believes very strongly in satanic possession. I believe it's as present today and more so than it was in the days when Jesus walked on the earth. We call it everything else. We pack people full of pills and put them off in hospitals and lock them up in cages. And there's nothing wrong with them, but they're demon-possessed. And the Lord of glory is the only one who can heal them. And Christ was the only one who could help this boy. He's the only one who could solve this man's problems. And the Lord Jesus replied to this man, shifted the focus of their discussion. Look at verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. This man had such little faith, but it was quickened by Christ's power. Your faith may not be strong enough. Mine may not be strong enough. How we rejoice that we have a Lord and Savior whose power is sufficient in every situation. This man soon realized that all things come to those who believe in Christ and respond to his instructions. I'll tell you this story about myself. If you get tired of hearing it, just ignore it. I lay over there in the hospital a couple of weeks ago. I was going to have a test the next morning, and I just knew, as much as I could know, that I had cancer. And I dealt with that before the Lord. I prayed for my family, and I prayed for you, and I prayed for the church. I prayed for God to give me the strength not to dishonor him. And I laid down and went to sleep. About 4 o'clock in the morning, I slept till they woke me up next morning. Now, it wasn't what I thought it was. But God was in control. And had they told me I had cancer, I was fully prepared to deal with it. Now that brings us to this boy. This young boy, this only child of this man who has been possessed with this demon. The gospel tells us about his terrible symptoms. In Luke chapter 9, verse 38, it says this, Behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son. He's my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. This boy was in a terrible condition. He was a lunatic. He was insane. The demons that were within him cried out, and they tore him from within. They made him foam at the mouth like a mad dog, and they bruised him as they threw him to the ground and threw him in the fire and threw him in the water. He had severe convulsions. I used to have an aunt. When I was a young man, I remember she would live with us at times, and she'd have convulsions. And I'd never seen anybody have a convulsion before. It's scary. It's frightening. I mean, she just foam at the mouth and shake all over, and there wasn't nothing you could do, try to hold her down and stuff like that. She's grinding their teeth, and you're trying to control them and can't. But because of the attacks, it tells us that he often fell into the fires or into the water. He'd be going by a pond, and he'd just fall in. Or he'd go by a large brush fire, and he'd just fall in. I thought about this. That child had to be scarred all over. I mean, he had to have burn scars all over him and marks where he'd fallen. He was probably a hideous-looking child. But not to his daddy. Another gospel implies that perhaps this boy was deaf and did not speak. In his discomfort, he couldn't cry out because nobody heard him. He didn't know how to speak. What he had was not a natural problem. Now, natural problems are bad enough. Somebody's got stage 4 cancer, they've had a major heart attack, or they've got a brain tumor. It's a bad thing. But it's natural. It happens to people. But this happened to a little boy who had no physical capacity to deal with it. He appears to be emaciated and weak beyond measure. Hard to feed a child that's having fits. In verse 15, he calls him a lunatic. The word lunatic is based on a word that means moonstruck. Back in ancient times, epilepsy was considered to be a result of people who sinned against the moon. Heathen people believed the moon was a god, and they people had epilepsy, or people who'd sinned against the moon in some way. And it appears that's what this boy had. Epilepsy was considered a sacred disease or a divine disease of the body. It was a curse of God on those who had it. His fits were exhaustive. They lasted a long time, and they wearied him. I can just picture this little boy. So weak, can't walk. Daddy has to carry him, scarred all over, burned all over. Lunatic, can't talk, can't hear, foaming at the mouth. The demoniac became even more violent before the Lord. Luke 9:39 says, "A spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him." This boy fell to the ground. He rattled around and foamed at the mouth. Like a wild beast. When I was a child, I don't know, I must have been about 9 or 10 years old. We had an old dog, an old cur dog. And evidently he got bitten by something and he got rabies. And the sheriff came to our house. He was going to shoot the dog, and he got behind the couch. And I still can remember that dog. He was, Sandy probably was a little child, a little bitty girl. But that dog was fierce looking. I mean, he was just, his eyes looked like glass, and his mouth was foam. Foam was running out of his mouth, and he's growling, snarling, snapping at everybody. At 38, it's kind of silenced him a little bit, though. He shot him right there in the yard and drug him off, put him in the back of his car, took him to the junkyard. This boy was weary. His violent convulsions started when he saw the Lord of glory. When men and women who are afflicted with spiritual diseases see the Lord of glory, it sets them off. It disturbs them. You read the Gospels, you'll see how many times that demon said to the Lord, "Are you going to cast us out?" Or they'd say to him, "Why are you here? You're not supposed to be here yet." They knew about him. They knew about his power. They knew what he could do. What a trial. This only child must have been to his father. Can you imagine that? I've seen children that are afflicted, that are crippled. And you look at their parents and they have this worn look on their face. Like, life's just about over with for me. Demon possession is a frequent occurrence in the biblical revelation. You can read this book from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find demon possession over and over and over and over again. And I have absolutely no reason to believe it's any better today than it was then. Now let's look at this Christ who heals this possessed child. You know, no trial of this flesh is too hard for Christ to cure. There are physical problems that we have. I have them. You may have them. And we can't do anything about them. Doctors don't seem to know what to do, and they don't have a solution for it. I never thought I'd get to the point in my life where the hardest thing I have to do is put my pants on and take them off. But it is. It's got that way. Because my legs are swollen so badly. But the Father gave to the Lord Jesus all the power that he needed to preserve his own. Philippians 4:12 says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And believers, I want you to know something. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you're solid in it or not, you can do that. You can do that. Through him. Through him. Now Jesus started by rebuking his disciples. And he rebuked the Pharisees because of their unbelief. The Lord of glory has no time and no patience for men and women of unbelief. We have churches today on every corner and they're filled with people of unbelief. The Lord Jesus rebuked Satan and he cast his forces out of the troubled boy. Verse 18 says, Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him and the child was cured from that very hour. When Jesus touched him, this possessed boy was made whole. Can you picture that in your mind? We miss so much in the Bible because we don't pay attention to the details. This little boy, I don't know how old he was, he'd never been sane. He'd been demon-possessed all his life. He couldn't hear. He couldn't talk. He couldn't walk. He was scarred. He was lunatic. He was insane. He was violent, and the Lord of glory touches him. Touches him. The scars are still there. The burns are still there. The bruises are still there. But suddenly he can hear. And he can speak. And he's sane. And he's not foaming at the mouth. Jesus cast his demons out and he forbid them to return. And I tell you, when the Lord of glory tells your demons to leave, not come back, they're not coming back. This child was freed of demons. Mark said he was like a dead boy. Mark 9:26 says, the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. The demons dared not to disobey the Lord's command to them. When the Lord of glory speaks, demons bow to him. They bow to him. There's some verses in one of the letters in the New Testament that says, there's coming a time when every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. You know who that includes? Everybody. Every demon in hell that hates God, hates Christ, and hates heaven is going to cry out, he's the Lord of glory. Satan himself, who has been rebellion against God since before the creation of the world, is going to bow his knee and bend down and say, he's the Lord of glory. And every lost man and woman in this world who's gone to hell will bow and confess, he's the Lord of glory. these demons dared not rebel him. The Lord forbid them to ever enter this child again. The child was cured from that very hour. Not cured for a few minutes, not cured for an hour or so, not cured for a day. He was cured. Someone wrote this, the boy was mad, his father was sad, but Satan was sad and the crowd became glad. This humbled father had seen many relapses. He'd seen this boy many times. Calm down, be somewhat normal, and then just go back into a fit of demons. But there's no more of that. No more. He sees clearly the power of Christ at work in his son. The Lord's complete care warmed the heart of this father who had seen all these relapses in his son's condition. Calmness and peace and self-control were seen in this child instead of the agony of defeat that had encountered him all his life. The power of the healer had overcome the force of evil and all the morbid sin that settled in this boy. The influence of Christ is wonderful and assuring. There's no importance, no failure in this blessed shepherd. My grandfather was a shepherd. He loved his sheep. He took care of them the best he could. But every time I'd go to his farm, just about every time, he'd lose a lamb. Sometimes he'd lose a ewe. They'd die on him. He was a good shepherd, but he wasn't a perfect man. But I'll tell you, the Lord of glory is a perfect shepherd. And his sheep all live. They're all blessed. They're all honored. Every trouble of our human experience must bow to his sovereign authority. Everything. Physical sickness, emotional disturbances, life, death, birth, funerals, success, failure. And then let me just mention for just a minute the failure of these powerless disciples. Verse 19 says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we do this? The multitude was amazed. They saw what had happened. The disciples were embarrassed. When they saw Jesus, they were utterly amazed. As with Moses, the touch of God's presence remained. Exodus 34:35 says, the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil on his face again, and he went in to speak with him. Moses came down off that mountain after talking with God. The people said, oh, put something over your face. We can't stand to look at it. And he put a veil over his face. I tell you, if you see Christ, if Christ looks upon you, he'll change you. He'll change you. The effect of his shining face was different. See, the people in Moses' day, they were afraid to look at him. They didn't know what was wrong with him. They knew something was different. But the presence of God in the face of Jesus was attractive glory. This boy was healed. His grace and his beauty drew men to him in appreciation and hope. Oh, there's hope in him. The ignorance of the disciples was complete regarding this miracle. They couldn't figure out why we fail. You sent us out to heal, but this boy, we couldn't heal him. We couldn't do anything for him. They just couldn't understand it. But Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. These men lacked living faith in his divine omnipotence. But this poor man with this sick child who knew no better, simply trusted him. When God's faith is manifest, a mountain becomes a valley. Mountain becomes a valley. The disciples were pained. They were troubled. They could not implement this healing. It's trying to Christ to see his disciples and to see his churches fail. Do you think the Lord is pleased with the religion of our day? I don't. I really don't. Men and women practice their religion to the best of their ability, but it's contrary to the teachings of the Scriptures, and God's not pleased with it. These men forgot the reality of demons is part of the ministry of Christ to his elect, and that the casting out of demons is part of his work. Mortals often fail to appropriate the power of Christ. I asked the doctor yesterday when I was there, I said, why didn't you tell me that medicine could cause what it caused? I'm not angry with you all, I'm just disappointed that you did not tell me that was one of the side effects. And she said, well, it's so rare that we just don't think about it. And I looked at her and smiled. I said, maybe you should. Maybe you should. Faith is vicarious. It is something God gives us to intercede for other people. And it's also victorious because God gives us victory through faith. Their father is a reminder of faith exercised by his love for his son. God loves Christ. And because he loved Christ, he loved this object of Christ's attention. This miracle had a spiritual lesson. Sinners are in bondage to Satan, and they're deaf to God's truth. But grace takes place in the heart, and a miracle is performed. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. This man's problem is like many of our problems. We have no solution. We have no answers. We have no hope. But if we have Christ, he's our shepherd and our blessing, then we have hope. Men can question. They can doubt, they can fear, but Christ always succeeds and he always accomplishes his purpose. I have to confess to you, and you probably could confess to me, there have been times in my life when I have tried to do something, I have done it to the best of my ability. I've worked as hard as I could at it. I strove to the limits of my ability mentally and physically and emotionally, and I just miserably failed. I want to tell you something. the Lord of glory that I trust in doesn't know what that feels like. He's never failed. Never. He never will. Everything he ever aimed to do, he did. Everything he ever desired to do, he did. Everything he sought to accomplish, he accomplished. This man found hope and peace in his trust in Christ. And so can you. And so can I. And that's our hope as believers. Amen.